Praise God. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Good. It's good to see half your faces. It really is. Oh, thank you, worship team. Great worship. Great job, guys. Give it up for the worship team, guys. Have to be honest with you guys. This past couple days, in a sense, we've had a house divided. There's this picture of a dress that's been circulating, and it's a dress where some people say it's one color, and other people say it's another. Me and LaFay agreed on what color it was. Christopher said no, that's not the color that it is. And so I see we already got some hats in the ring here. I like that because that's what I wanted to go to. We even had issues on the staff about it, kind of going back and forth about it. I would have to say that Pastor Joe agreed with me. So just for the rest of the staff to know, he agreed with me. But I actually would like y'all's help with this. Can we get that image? What color is that? Who says it's gold and white? Who says it's blue and black?
You're wrong.
Hey, the man has spoken. I don't think it's very important for you to know what the actual color is. You can ask me after the service if you're really interested. I think it's a good exercise in not making a big deal out of stuff that doesn't need to be made a big deal out of. You know, this is an internet sensation, a little internet issue, but we have these things happening all the time in our lives. I know in particular, when it comes to perception, that's what this thing comes down to, the human perception of color. But perception is a tricky thing because my perception is my perception is my perception, and yours is yours. And they can, you know, kind of butt up against each other. This even happens in a household. I remember LaFay and I, when we were dating, and I share her testimony a lot because it really does, it increases my faith. But I remember when we were dating, and I have always loved LaFay's love for the Bible, her knowledge of the Bible, her commitment to the Lord. And she has been one of those people who, if you knew her way back when, as long as you've known her, she's been a rock. She's been solid. Now, the thing is, LaFay was raised in a church that taught her to focus in on the Bible, but when it came to spiritual gifts, they felt like the spiritual gifts had gone away. The spiritual gifts were not current, and when it came specifically to the gift of tongues, it's funny, that one kind of made its way in there, but not in the sense that you should do it, but just that if you are doing it, you're doing it wrong. That was kind of what it was. That was kind of how it landed. If you are speaking in tongues, you're doing it wrong. But nobody there actually spoke in tongues. She had this background to grow up in. And as we dated and as she entered into her college years, et cetera, went through her college years, God began to take her on a journey throughout the body of Christ, if you will. Different groups of people within the body of Christ who loved the Lord and had a walk with the Lord, loved the Bible, but those specific things that she was raised to use as a criteria for who was a believer and who was not didn't really apply. You know, how she was raised, it was more than just accepting the Lord as your Lord and Savior. It was more than that. It was other little things. And so it was hard for her to see somebody who was walking after God's heart and following the word of God, but these other things didn't match up. You know, her inclination was to say, you're not saved, but she had an issue there. She couldn't really take that step and say, you don't know the Lord. She knew there was something there. It put her in a pretty tough spot. I don't know if you guys know my wife, LaFay, but she's very intelligent. She has a gift from the Lord of intelligence, truly. She's just smart. I think I've said this before, but she tutored statistics and had never taken it before. That's how smart she is. She's the person who's taking that physics test and doesn't know the formula for something. Don't sit down. No, stay right there. We're gonna honor you right now. She's the person who's taking a physics test, forgets the formula, comes up with the formula during the test, and solves the problem. That's her. She's sharp. The thing is, though, she stands on what she believes. So What do you do when you have held on to something so strongly? You know that you know that you know that you're right, but you're having things and people and experiences challenge that. What do you do in that moment? What do you do when you hold a view so strongly that there is little to no room for even God to correct you? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there that there's no way that I'm wrong? You know, it could be, it could be your view on the culture. It could be your view on politics. It could be your view on the parks and rec system in your neighborhood. I'm right. And I know that I know that I know that I'm right. Right? Right? How do we avoid being in that spot? How do we avoid being people who are so steadfast about what they believe and what they know that even God himself, truth himself, could not tell us otherwise? How do we avoid that? How do we avoid that? I want to give you three biblical safeguards for anyone who stands on anything. Yes, anything. Three biblical safeguards for anyone who stands on anything, stands for anything, stands up about anything. Yes, anything. This is some good stuff for our hearts, but before we go forward, I gotta lay one ground rule down. Everybody has their mask on, so I won't tell you to turn to your neighbor. And if you don't, I definitely won't tell you to turn to your neighbor. But I want you to look straight at me, and I want you to say, this message is for me. Because I know you already got a list of people who want to hear this message, who you want to hear this message in your head. I got to send this message. Pastor Chris about to lay it down. He about to convict this person. Oh, man, they got to hear this. No, 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 no. Before they get it, you got to get it. You got to taste the food first before you start passing it out. This message is for you and me. This is not for them. So when you get challenged as we move throughout this message, I don't want you to think about the person you disagree with. I want you to think about you. I want you to think about you because, truth be told, it's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. We want to be right with God. This will help us not just want to be right, but be right with God. I want you to walk out of here today not feeling confident that you're right about everything, but being confident that you are right about God. You're right with God. He and you, you and him, he and I are good to go. Right? Amen. All right, all right, all right. Do me a favor, turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. This particular psalm, David's kind of under attack. Not kind of, he is. He is being sought after. They want to kill him. They want to hurt him. They want to draw him in and do something bad to him. I want you to go to that scripture because in Psalms 139, we're going to see these three safeguards detailed out. It's going to be pretty cool, but I want you to tune in to what he is saying. I'm going to go ahead and jump into this and read it. Hopefully you got it in your Bibles. This is ESV. It says, and we're going verse 1 through 7, then we're going to jump to verses 17 and 18. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Verse 17 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, there would be more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. You might be wondering what he's talking about, but he is essentially laying out a case. Now, he's not putting himself on trial. He's actually putting God on trial. He's putting God on trial. God is the witness here. God is the witness. And he's saying, God, you know me. You know me. God, you know me. See, the first guardrail we have is a clear conscience. Clear conscience. That's the first safeguard we have. A clear conscience, a clear conscience. The author of the book, A Hole in Our Holiness, he says that a tender conscience is a terrible thing to waste. terrible thing to waste. You see, David is putting God on trial, and he's saying, look, God, you know me. You see me. You feel me. You know where I'm from. God, you know what's in my heart. You have searched me. Now, we all know people will say, man, hey, you know me. You know me, man. You know me. We know people do that, right? You know me, and really, they're hoping that you don't really know them all the way. They're hoping that you just know the good parts, right? So you can vouch for me in this situation. Come on, man, you know me. It's Chris, man. You know me. Yeah, that's the problem. I do, you know? That's the problem. So it's really dangerous to put God on trial and say, God, you know me, if your conscience is not clear. You only do that when your conscience is clear. You only say, God, you know my heart. You know where I'm coming from. David gets so deep, he says, look, God, you know my thoughts before I think them. You know my words before I speak them. It doesn't matter where I go. And I encourage you to read Psalms 139 all the way through. For time, we're hitting the key points here. But he says, look, if I go down low, if I go up high, you're there. You see me. You see me. As a matter of fact, you saw me in the womb before I was in the womb. You saw me, you know me in the depths of me. As a matter of fact, you know me better than I know me. You know me better than I even know myself. You see, in this instance, God's perfect knowledge is not a threat, but it's comforting because you actually know what I'm about, God. You know what I'm about in this world. You know that I'm trying to stand up for what's right, Father. I believe in this. I believe in this. My conscience is clear. Now, here's the thing. If your conscience is not clear, we don't need to go on to point two and point three. If your conscience is not clear right here, right now, for whatever you stand for and stand on, then we got to address that first, because God gave everybody a conscience. It's the reason why when you were 2 years old and your dad said, don't touch that, you looked at him first, and then you touched it. No conscience, you just keep walking. You just touch it because you don't know the difference between right and wrong. But no, God put something on the inside of you. It's the same reason why when you rode through that red light, you felt something on the inside, right? It's your conscience. And this here applies to anybody, whether you are a believer or not. You have a conscience. It is a standard for doing what's right. A standard for doing what's right for what you know. He who knoweth what's right and doeth not, to him it is sin. I know that I shouldn't lie to you right now, but I am. I know that I shouldn't take this, but I am. If you're violating that basic part that God has put in your heart, you are violating your design. God gave you a conscience so that you would step in the right way, walk in the right way. I shouldn't go that way. Turn and go the opposite direction. He gave you that. And in order to stand before God, in order to be a person who is truly living courageously, y'all know that's the series we're in. If you're gonna do that, you gotta start off with a clear conscience. You gotta actually believe that you're doing the right thing. If you don't believe you're doing the right thing, then something has to change. If you need some help with that, that's why we have a staff. We're here. We're here. All right? Now, after you know, let's say everybody passes the first test, you have a clear conscience. Once you believe you are standing on what is right, it is very clear what's wrong. It's very clear what's wrong. That's the next part, right? I know where I'm at, and I know I'm standing on the truth, right? My conscience is clear. God, you see me. I put you on trial. You know everything. You know that my heart is pure, so I stand on what's right, and it makes the things that are wrong pretty clear. So I want to jump into the next part. The next thing that we need, the next safeguard, a passionate plea. A passionate plea. A passionate plea. If you're taking notes, you write that down. You write that down. We're going to see that in what David did. He goes to the extreme. He takes passion, you know, real literally. Let's read what he says. This is Psalms 139, 19 through 22. Remember, people are trying to kill him. Just to kind of give you a little heads up. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. I yelled that on purpose. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you, God, with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O God, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. Dog, complete. I count them my enemies. David's going in. He's pulling no punches. But don't judge. Don't judge him. David said, I know I'm standing in the right spot. I can see what's wrong. God, I can see it. It's clear. Notice how he even equates them coming against him to coming against God. He is saying, and look, guys, I'm not saying David is wrong. David is saying, I'm following God. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm actually standing on what the Lord has called me to stand on, and people are coming against me, Father. And I know that I'm standing on what's right, and you are what's right. So when they come against me, they're coming against you. I got a problem with that, God. I don't want them doing what they're doing. God, take them out. Handle them. Now, granted, they were trying to kill him, all right? So I'm not telling you to start praying prayers of hits on people, you know? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is be like David in it that David didn't leave it inside of himself. He took it to the one who could do something about it. It's interesting how the more we pray, the less we accidentally go off on people. The more we pray passionately and really lay it out before the Lord, the less those fingers get to moving. And you on Instagram and you telling everybody about it. And you on Facebook and you telling everybody about it. Matter of fact, you calling people and telling them about it, right? But the more we pray, the more we give a passionate plea to the Lord, the less we end up in those situations. Now, follow what David is doing. David has already established that his heart is clear. He believes he's in the right spot enough to say, God, you see me and you know me. So this is not a man who's trying to deceive. And then he says, look, God, I see what's wrong. Let me be real with you real quick. God, I know abortion is wrong. I know it is. There's no question in my heart. There's no question in my Bible. God, I know racism is wrong. There's no question in my heart. There's no question in my Bible. As a matter of fact, in the first section of this psalm in particular, he says, God, you knew me before I was even put in the womb. What does that mean? That's sanctity of life. That's God against abortion. That's God against racism, right? Right? So he's standing in the right spot. He's like, God, do something about this. You know what's funny? Our boxes don't fit in this. Because you can't stand on both of those and be either type of political party, right? Right? At least if other people had to say so, right? You can't be against this and against this, right? Right? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be against all kinds of stuff. If it's in this book, right? If it's in this book, notice David is not trying to get all out of line. David is just like, look, God, I see what's wrong because I'm standing on what's right, so God, do something about it. God, do something about it. Have you been there? Anybody? Y'all been there? Y'all been there? Notice that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That's what our Bible says. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. But notice David is in a place where he is seeking righteousness and he's taking it to the one who could do something about it. That's your second step. That's your second step. But this third step right here, this is what catches me off guard. This is what throws me for a loop. This is what I really embrace in my heart. It's crazy how awesome this is. Let's go down to Psalms 139, 23 through 24. This is how he ends his prayer off. Get ready. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the Lexham English Bible, it doesn't say grievous way. It says, show me if there is any worship of other gods in me. Notice how David says, you know me. I believe I'm in the right spot. So God, do something about this, but he doesn't leave it there. He says, but wait. God, I know I'm not you. Yeah. And I know I don't see everything perfectly. I know that I'm not light years away from sinning. I'm one step away. God, I know that I can get this wrong. Now, don't take your foot off the gas, guys. Y'all was with me. Y'all were with me a second ago, but you got to end off like this. You got to end off like this because, look, at the end of the day, we're going to stand where we stand believing that we're right, and I'm glad that we're standing where we're standing believing that we're right. But we have to, at the end of the day, say, God, you search me, though. You search me because I could be wrong. As a matter of fact, even if I was 100 years old, I am still much younger than you are. Right? You are the beginning and the end. You know much more than I know, and I understand. And guys, look, you're really smart people in here. You have your reference point. You have your perspective, just like the dress. You got your perspective. You believe that it's right, but don't be so strong that he can't be stronger. Don't be so wise that he can't be wiser. Don't be so wise that he can't be wiser. Don't be so smart that he can't be smarter. Because the moment you are in that place, the moment there is no room for you to be wrong, is the moment you are wrong. You have stepped into wrong. You're over there. You're just living in wrong at that point. God's desire for us is to be like his son. His desire is not just for us to be right. He wants us to be right with him. That's God's desire. Look at how David ends this thing. And look, this doesn't even stop in just the Old Testament. In the New Testament, look at what Paul says. This is 1 Corinthians 4:4. Check it out. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. Tweet that. It is the Lord who judges me. Now, don't gloss past any part of that verse. Notice what he says, right? My conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with my heart. I believe that I'm right, but that doesn't make me right. I'm going to say it again for you. My conscience is clear, and I feel like I'm right, but that doesn't make me right. That doesn't mean I'm right for sure. Are you open to God showing you something? Are you open to that? And notice, he says, it's the Lord who judges me. Y'all know how people be like, only God can judge me. You're right. You are so right. Only God can judge you. Notice, he's saying, at the end of the day, God is the one who's going to make the judgment about my life, and that standard's higher than yours. He's not saying I can just do what I want. I don't care what I do. God is going to judge me. He's saying, look, you can say what you want. My conscience is clear. At the end of the day, God is going to judge me. His standard is higher than even your standard. I'm not putting myself under a lower standard by saying God judges me. I'm putting myself under a higher standard that, yes, God is the one who judges me. At the end of the day, my conscience is not the end-all, be-all. That's just the start. That's just the start. Take you back to me and LaFay. And you might have heard this testimony before, but she was in that spot trying to figure it out. She had a decision to make. And she prayed a prayer that was really hard for her, being a really smart person, standing on what she believes because of her background, because of what she had learned, because of how she was raised, because of her experiences. She believed what she believed. Sound familiar? Put yourself in this story, all right? Yeah. She was strong about that, but she was recognizing that there were some legitimate challenges to what she was saying. She didn't totally agree, but she knew that God had the answers, and she had to pray a prayer. She said, and it was so hard for her to pray this, she said, God, show me the truth. That's really hard for somebody to pray when they believe they have it already. Because it insinuates I don't have it. Yeah. It's hard to pray that prayer, guys. But it's a must for each of us. It's a must. God, show me the truth, though. Show me the truth. Later on, we're in this Christian conference with all of these college students. She's reading her Bible. She's reading about tongues. Reading about gifts, she gets the tongue. She asks God for tongues. She knows all these people who are speaking in tongues. And the thing about LaFay is she don't fake nothing. If it's real, it's real. If it's not, it's not. So she's a pretty good litmus test for me. If it's good, she's going to say it's good. If it's not, she's going to say it's not. So if she gets tongues, she actually got them. If she don't get tongues, she ain't going to act like it. it is what it is. She said, she asked God for tongues. She kept reading it, and she saw where Paul says, most of all, desire love. So she started praying for love. And we're in this big auditorium, probably about 2,000 college students. And I see her across the room. She's praying. She put her Bible down. She's praying. She's saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All of a sudden, some syllable starts coming out of her mouth. And that's all she can say. Not like she was being forced. Her mouth was doing its own thing, but it was something that she wanted to do. She's right there. Her mouth is doing something. She's not controlling it. She's just making this syllable, making this syllable. She said it felt like she was right before the throne of God. She saw somebody else in the room speaking in tongues, and she smiled at her, and she smiled at her, and they were speaking in tongues. They knew what was happening for both of them in that moment. They came over close to each other. They smiled. They're crying. They're happy. They're right before God. But that started with humble submission. I wonder what you and I are missing out on because we won't humbly submit. I wonder who we're not allowing into our lives because of what we believe and what we think. I wonder what gifts we're missing out on. I wonder what business deals you're missing out on. I wonder what opportunities we're missing out on. And most of all, I wonder how much we're missing out on being like Jesus. Because, no. I know what I know. I believe what I believe. You can't tell me anything otherwise. You can't tell me anything. I know this. Look. She knew too. She knew. She knew. But God knew more. God knew more. He knows more. Can you get those words out of your mouth? Can you say, God, show me the truth and be open to it? Can you? Can you gain something you never had before by opening yourself up to what God wants to show you? This is what David did. I think we can do it. I think we can. So what do you do in this situation? What do you do when you're in this spot? You do these three things. You get a clear conscience. Get that clear conscience. And we can get somebody on keys real quick. You get a clear conscience. You make sure you at least believe that you are right and there's not ill in your heart. From your own perspective, you make sure that's right. You're the first line of defense. Then secondly, you give a passionate plea. You don't just think about it. You talk to the Lord about it. You talk to somebody who can do something about it. Don't be more passionate with people than you are with God. I'll say that again. Don't be more passionate with people than you are with God. Tell God the truth about how you feel. Tell him the truth. Open up your heart to him. Then the third point, and don't you forget it, humble submission. God, you know more than I know. You know more than I know. Lord, so show me. Teach me. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to show your love right. Ultimately, I want to be like your son, Jesus Christ. I want to be more like him every day. I don't just want to be right. I want to be right with you. What are you and I missing out on because we know so much? Because we can't budge. We can't listen. What are we missing out on? What are you missing out on? What friends are you missing out on? Who don't you talk to right now? Who are you building up unforgiveness against? Right? Y'all know it's an election season. We're not gonna stunt out here. It's divided. Find yourself on one side or the other or doing this, trying to make it, right? But my God don't care about those lines like that. He split seas. That's the God that I serve. And he deserves my allegiance more than anything and anybody else. So I have to ask myself the question, is my conscience clear? Is my conscience clear? God, my conscience is clear. And Lord, I see this stuff going on. Let me give you my passionate plea. And then end it all off by saying, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. The way everlasting. Not the way temporary. Not this interesting way, this new way. Lord, lead me in the way that is and will forever be your way. Lead me in that way. You see, the argument that David set up in the beginning for him being innocent was now an argument that humbled him enough to say, you do know everything there is to know about me. At first, he said, you searched me. At the end, he said, search me. You did search me, but now, Lord, go deep. Show me what's in me. After November, guys, I want to see you smiling. I want to see you smiling, no matter who's in office, because God is on the throne. He's on the throne. And look, I'll say this before I go. I'm black. If y'all couldn't tell. So, and some of y'all are white, some of y'all are brown, some of y'all are yellow or whatever colors we have these days. We are wherever we are, and we all sit in this room, so watch what you say. Watch what you say. Love your brother as yourself. Because I got eyes and I be on Facebook. And some of the stuff y'all be saying hurt my feelings, for real. Yeah, it does, it does. But look, I forgive you, it's all good. My conscience is clear. But that don't make me right. But no, love one another. Love one another. Amen. Pastor Joe.
Thank you. You're not grand part, bro. What you said, I'm never gonna forget this. If you are so right you can't make room for being wrong, you just became wrong. Right? Because we don't know everything, do we? Come on, all stand up. Let's all stand together. Chris, LaFay, won't you come stand right here? I want you to come just stand right here. We're gonna just extend our hands to these guys. You know what? There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. And these guys have not only weathered the warfare, but they have had victory over it. And I'm so proud of them and love them so much. Lord, Nancy, why don't you come up and stand with them? Come on. We just want to pray for you. Just pray the divine protection, divine covering of the Lord over your lives. And just thank you for the truth that you guys not only have in your head, but live out in your heart. And so I just bless you, Chris. Bless you, LaFay. Your five boys are going to grow up strong in the Lord and be world changers. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He's awesome. Love you guys. Fantastic. Fantastic. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down whatever sentence that you got out of this. And I want you to meditate on it and think about it all week. The election is going to come. It's going to come and go. And I'm like, Chris, I want to see a smile on your face the day after the election, all right? Yeah, can you do that? Say, I can do that. Amen. All right, God bless you. Give somebody a high five, elbow, head, whatever it is you feel comfortable doing, and God bless you. See you next week.